chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." And then in 1 Peter, it tells us, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." Last week, we began a series speaking to you about some keys to fruitful church membership. That the fact that the house of God is a church of the living God, and it's a pillar of ground of the truth, and the fact that Peter says that judgment must begin at the house of God, then we challenge you to understand that church membership ought to be taken very seriously. That there is an accountability. And last week we talked to you first about the fact that if you're going to be fruitful in your church membership, you're going to have a living, vital relationship with God. That you're going to have to be born again, first of all. And then after being born again, you need to have a close walk with the Lord. And in fact, sometimes save church members who are out of fellowship with God and are not walking with the Lord can be more disruptive to a church than lost church members. Neither one of them are very valuable to a church, not valuable at all. And then we showed you a very sobering verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to visit that just briefly in review. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 17, the Bible says, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." This is quite a different temple than what we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, "What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and you're not your own, you've been bought with a price." And it's talking there about the fact that when we're saved, that the Spirit of God comes and indwells us and lives within us. But that's individual. But here in this passage, the temple that it refers to is the house of God, the church here at Corinth. And he gives a very sobering thought here that when we defile the temple of God, God takes it very seriously and God will take action. He says that him shall God destroy. And that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to kill them. We find that in 1 Corinthians 5 that church discipline delivers a person over for the destruction of the flesh. And so it could be church discipline. It could be lack of rewards in heaven and a number of things. Now, tonight, the second key to church membership is kind of taking a theme off of Ephesians chapter 3, if you'll turn with me there. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. Ephesians 3:21. The Bible says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, it says, "Whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we should do it all to the glory of God." Even in our daily affairs of life, what we do and what we say and the actions and the decisions that we make ought to be in light of, is this going to discredit God or is this going to bring honor and glory to God? But especially when we talk about religious work, I don't know if that's a good term, let's use the term spiritual work. God desires that spiritual work come through a local New Testament church. And he wants to get glory through his churches. And so the second point of keys to fruitful church membership is that we need to come to grasp with the fact of how important a New Testament church is. That it's vital if I'm going to be fruitful in my membership, then I'm going to have to put at the top of the list of the things that I'm a member of, that the local New Testament church is the greatest and the highest and the most important. And in fact, I'm not a member of anything else but a local New Testament church. And I'm not saying you can't be members of other things, but I'm saying that's top priority. And God wants to receive glory through it. Let me remind you that there is a vast difference between the family of God and the New Testament church. We're born into the family of God by repentance from sin and faith in the cross work of Jesus Christ. But it's the saved, baptized that are added to the New Testament church. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, they that gladly received the word were baptized, and there added unto them 3,000 souls. And so membership into a church is important. Let me remind you also that the church is comprised of the saved, baptized believers who are organized in a very visible and active present exist in present time. In other words, the word church, translated from the Greek ecclesia, is an assembly. And people disrespect the church. Listen, the whole universal invisible church concept is to disrespect God's church. And it lowers it. And we live in a day when church membership and churches are looked down upon. But when we go through here, and we'll show you some things, but the church is prominent in the New Testament. 114 times in the New Testament, ecclesia is mentioned. The word church is mentioned. Very prominent in the writings of the New Testament. And the vast majority of those references are to specific churches, and the rest of the references are in a generic or institutional church. The importance of a New Testament church is personally seen in Jesus coming to earth to not only die for mankind, but to do a work in establishing His church. Matthew 16:18 says that, "Thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And when Jesus said He's going to build His church, He's speaking not only of the church at Jerusalem, which He started, but He's also speaking in an institutional sense that every local New Testament church that descends from the church that Christ started and it's biblically organized and is founded upon Christ, that every one of those churches that the Lord is involved in building. Men have corrupted churches over the years and churches have turned from the truth. Nevertheless, God has promised perpetuity to the New Testament church. And the church of Jerusalem doesn't exist today, but churches like the church of Jerusalem do exist, and they will continue to exist until the Lord comes back. And so the Lord, in this time period, it's been God's design always to work through a people. And in the Old Testament, when we come up to Abraham, God has chosen and moved aside from the prophets and the elders of old time, and he wanted to choose out the nation of Israel to propagate His truth. And then we come to the New Testament, the Lord uses His church to propagate the truth. Now, go with me a verse that we quoted at the beginning, but let's go over and look at more directly at 1 Timothy chapter 3. And again, we're talking about fruitful church membership. If I'm going to have a fruitful football team, if you're going to have a fruitful basketball team, if you're going to have a fruitful occupation, if you're going to be fruitful in your work, then you're going to have to put some importance on it. Someone who only shows up for practice on a football squad once a week is not going to be playing much because the coach is going to clearly see that he puts no importance on being a member of the football team. Well, membership in a local New Testament church is God's priority. It's a high priority. It's a holy priority. It's a wonderful priority. It's the greatest thing on the local New Testament, sound local New Testament Baptist church is the greatest thing that you can be a member of in this age. And you all always say amen. The church has been drug in the dirt. But I'm telling you tonight that God raises the New Testament church to a high level. That God wants to, He raised it so high that He said, "I have an institution that I want to receive glory through. No other institution, but I want to see glory in the religious realm and spiritual work through my New Testament church. Look how important it is. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." And so Jesus describes here the church as his house, and the New Testament church is where the truth is grounded and where the truth is on a pillar and held high. The importance of this is clearly seen when Jude challenges us and he says that we ought to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I want you to go with me back to Isaiah chapter 59. I want you to see what happens when the church begins to fade, or the house of God, the institution through which God wants to speak. Of course, the Old Testament, the church is not in the Old Testament. We're not covenant theologians that believe that the Old Testament promises to Israel carried on to the New Testament church. But God did have this nation of Israel in which he propagated the truth. And you see that when they failed to do their job, and when the truth was not held to a high degree, there's consequences. Of course, Isaiah is going to write prior to the Babylonian invasion. He's going to prophesy concerning the fall of Israel, and particularly the southern kingdom. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 9. "Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are desolate places as dead men." I've been interested in watching the Republican convention and how that they have the hope for our nation, and that Mitt Romney is the answer. Well, we're going to get further and further to be exactly as it says in this passage. We're going to grope like the blind, our nation. We're going to stumble at noonday. The answer for our nation, and nobody's man enough to stand up and say it, but we should, the answer for our nation is God. He says, "We roar all like bears, and more soar like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it's far off from us. And America wants judgment, and America wants to be delivered. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and for our iniquities we know them." And the reason that we're in the condition that we're in, and it's going to get worse, because I don't see revival coming to America anytime soon. And he says, in transgression and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departed from evil making himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Well, when a church begins to be taken lightly, truth is going to fall in the street. When churches fail to be a foundation of the truth, and churches fail to raise the truth upon the pillar, then the nation is going to be judged. And there's only one deterrent for the sin in America, and that's the local New Testament church. Listen, nations and cities without sound churches are corrupt. And God wants to work through the New Testament church. We're talking about how we can be fruitful as church members. And we need to understand the importance of a church. Most of the New Testament was written particularly concerning churches. Even though a portion is not written directly to particular churches, have numerous references to churches. We have Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and all of those are letters to New Testament churches. The church is at the center and the core of the New Testament. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus were epistles written to a man named Timothy and a man named Titus. And what was the occupation? Or what was the work of Timothy and Titus? Well, they were church planters. And he writes them telling them how they can benefit the churches that they're started. And he tells them, Titus, you know, to ordain elders. And he talks to Timothy about family relationships and a number of different things in relationship to structure of a New Testament church. The general epistles were not written to churches particular, but they've always had in the context the church. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews is written to the Hebrew people, but the context within the book of Hebrews, there's the church is found there. In Hebrews chapter 10, and look in verse 21, it says, and having a high priest over the house of God. We've already looked in, when the Bible talks about the house of God, it says it's a church of the house of God, which is a church of the living God. And then look down in verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so we find here a context of a church within this epistle, assembling. Look over in chapter 13 and verse 7. 13 and 7. Remember then which have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Well, you can say, well, my boss has rule over me. Well, you know, in the army, my captain has rule over me. There's different people that have rule over me. But that doesn't fit the context, because in this context, the one who has rule over them has spoken unto them the word of God. He's the one who's out to lead out in faith. He's the one that that needs to, you consider their conversation. And then down in verse 17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit, for they watch for your souls. The army captain doesn't watch for your soul. He watches for your life because he needs a soldier. But it's a pastor that watches for the soul. And they've got to give an account to God for that. And it ought to be with joy instead of with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And so I'm simply saying that you cannot escape the local New Testament church and even in the general epistles. Look over into the book of James. You're in Hebrews, go over to James. Though James is not written to an individual church like Romans or Galatians or Ephesians, still the church is in mind. Look in James chapter 5 and verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for what? The elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and look at verse 1. The elders which are among you, church context, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And so you have a shepherd here, you have a flock, and it's in a context of church membership. Look in John, in the third John and verse 1, the elder unto the beloved Gaius. And so we have an elder here in John. And then we look at what it says there in verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. And of course, when we go on over from Jude and get to the book of Revelation, we have him writing to the seven churches. Chapter 2, verse 1, unto the church at Ephesus. Chapter 2, verse 8, unto the church of Smyrna. chapter 2, verse 12. The church at Pergamos, and then on and on, 3 and 1, 3 and 7, and 3 and 14. I'm simply saying that church is important. God says it's important. I think at times we need to do a heart check. We need to be careful that the church we're a member of doesn't become just like a club. Just some kind of a thing that we are a part of, but not really a part of. The Bible has no instructions for discipline and watch care of Christians except in a local New Testament church context. I want to say that again. Watch care and church discipline of individual Christians is only found in a church context. Why do you think that people who are not faithful and attached and dedicated to a local New Testament church often are full of heresy? Why are their lives like a bouncing rubber ball? Why are they always up and down and up and down? Because God has designed for us to watch each other. God has designed that we would have discipline in our lives, not only from the preaching of the Word of God, but also actually punitive discipline. He knows that our hearts are prone to wander, that we need to be accountable. And that accountability comes within a local New Testament church. Matthew chapter 18, it says, you know, if I have a fault with a brother, then I'm supposed to go and talk to him. And if he won't listen to me, I'm supposed to take two or three more. And if he won't listen to them, then we're to tell it to the church. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was reported commonly that there's fornication among you. And such fornication not named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And Paul said, when you come together, to put him out of the church. That church discipline needs to take place. Why his soul could be salvaged? That God wants to rescue people. That God wants judgment to come. There has to be discipline in our lives. Allow your children to do whatever they want to do, and one of these days you're going to wish that you never had them. And when they grow up, they're going to be hamstrung because they've never learned any discipline. And God requires, remember, His design is that people ought to be members of a local New Testament church where we care for each other. Look over, we've already looked at Hebrews 13 and 17 where it says that the pastor watches for their soul. The pastor is to oversee them. In Acts 20, it says Acts 20 and 28. Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus. Acts 20 and 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. And so God has designed that not only would the flock oversee, but the church plays a part in this watch care. Look in James chapter 5. In James chapter 5. Look in verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so part of this is about a sickness here, and you call for the elders of the church. But it says we're to confess our faults one to another and pray for one another. What this is saying is that not only ought you obey those that have rule over you and submit for the watch for your soul, pastoral and church membership, but it says here that there's a watch care that, listen, Toby is responsible to watch for Jice, and Jice is responsible to watch for Toby, that we're responsible for each other, that we ought to confess our faults to one another, that we ought to pray for one another, that in a local New Testament church, you shouldn't be offended when a brother comes to you and say, hey, I'm just concerned about the direction your life is taking. That's the role of a church. There ought to be some care in a church. There ought to be some safety in a church. And listen, when you leave this place and go to someplace else, the first thing you ought to do is join a church. And in fact, the first thing you ought to do before you even go there is to know that there's a church there. You're a fool if you don't do that. An absolute fool. Because, listen, I'm not big enough and you're not big enough to watch for yourself. God has designed, it's the only institution in this world that God has designed for Christians to have discipline and watch care. Listen, we are in a war. And somebody's got to watch our back. We need to watch each other's backs. And when people are watching our backs, don't get all snooty about it. Just know that they're bringing it up because they care for you. That this world eats up people and chews them and spits them out every day. And Satan puts warriors of the Lord on the sidelines constantly. The New Testament church is vital for a Christian. If he's going to be fruitful in his service for the Lord, he needs to be involved in the local New Testament church. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12. Let's see. That's not the right verse. Let me see. Okay, let's go to Romans 14 and 19. Romans 14 and 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. That we need to edify each other. That we need to build up each other. And that can only take place in the context of a New Testament church. John chapter 13 and verse 34. John 13 and 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, you have loved one to another. Well, what I see here is that how am I going to express love one to another unless it's in some kind of an assembly where a group of people meet, unless it's in the church context. Not just assembly, not just this building we're not talking about, but when we assemble together. Look in Romans 12 and verse 10. Romans 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Again, to fulfill this one another verse, it's going to have to be in a church context. In Galatians chapter 5, another one another verse. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. How do you serve someone that's a member of the universal invisible church? I can't even find him. He's invisible. Service comes within a New Testament church. Look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Ephesians 5:20. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of the Lord. And so there's many, many one another verses, but they're all in the context of the church. You need, we're talking about fruitful church membership. We need a real active relationship with the Lord, the owner of the house, which is the church of the living God. And secondly, we need to grasp the importance that the Lord places on the church. There needs to be a clear understanding. We'll come back to this again of what a church is. Go with me over to Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, people use this verse in a very wrong way. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, in Matthew 18:20, it says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." And people want to sidestep the accountability and responsibility of being a member of a church. They say, "Well, you know, wherever I meet with two or three people, then the Lord is in the midst of that, and we're assembling together. And I don't have to be a member of a particular organization." People say, I love the Lord, but I don't like churches. Well, there's lots of things that come underneath the context of churches that I don't like either. But I tell you one thing, the Lord gave His life for the New Testament church. Yes, He gave His life for all mankind, but particularly He desired that people be a member of a church after they're saved and baptized. And here, where two or three, if you look at the context, it's in the context of that church discipline. In verse 17, if he should neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. A proper New Testament church is more than a group of people meeting for a Bible study in their home and a prayer time together. There's nothing wrong with having devotions and studying the Bible together. But the church has some organization to it. Look over in Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, it said, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." Here Titus, a church planner, a missionary, Paul writes to him and he says, "I want you to set things in order." And he says, "The things that are wanting." There was an assembly there. There were people meeting together, but it still lacked. There was still a wanting in that for it to really to be a church. Listen, a group of people without a pastor is not a New Testament church. And I realize sometimes that churches have to wait for a pastor. There's a church in Fossil my brother's a member of, and they think that they're better off just, you know, doing their own deal. And you know, we can make out without a pastor for a while. And I'm afraid that they're whipping a dead horse. A church needs a pastor. When Paul went back in Acts chapter 14, he went back through the churches and he ordained elders in every church. They need a leader. There needs to be a part of a church. So what I'm simply saying, remember the definition we all learned in our Bible Institute? What is a church? What's a church? Assembly of baptized believers organized to carry out the Lord's work. Assembly of baptized believers has to have some structure. It has to have some structure about it. And part of that's having a pastor. And so I'm simply saying to you that, and not ashamedly, but very boldly, that God's plan for this age is to work through local New Testament Baptist churches. I think the church that Jesus started would be called Baptist today. And so what does that do with me? Well, we ought to join it. In Acts chapter 2, they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the Lord added unto them daily such as should be saved, implying that they're saved and baptized. You ought to be a member of a New Testament church. God wants His glory through a New Testament church. You ought to love it. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And I think I could take the Word of God and after studying a little further to really lay it out clearly and show to you that the church is the bride of Christ. And He loves it. We all love it. That's why the Lord said He was going to judge those that defile it. And then, thirdly, we ought to support it. Next week, we're going to talk about the third thing concerning fruitful church membership. Is that we need to understand the key for fruitful church membership. The third thing, we need to understand that no church or pastor is perfect. Yet God works through imperfect things. God's never abandoned it because churches are imperfect. God never abandoned the Corinthian church. It was imperfect. And so tonight, God is not for freelancing it. He's not. If you're going to have a fruitful membership, well, you know, maybe you're here tonight and say, well, why do I want a fruitful member? Why do I want to be fruitful anyway? Well, maybe you need to go read John chapter 15. If we're abiding in the vine, we ought to be producing fruit. We ought to be loving what the Lord loves. We ought to desire to be right where God wants to be working. All right? Selah.